Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Religious Education for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. It's great to have you again. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my guest, Father Rocky Grimard, who is with the Lev Shemaya House of Prayer. How are you, Father Rocky?
Very good. Thank you.
It's great to have you here. First of all, I love prayer. We're going to talk about silent prayer, which can be a little difficult for some. We're going to talk a little bit about the difference between retreat houses and houses of prayer and what it really means to listen to God. So let's go ahead and get started. Can you share a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm a missionary oblate priest, a missionary oblate of Mary Immaculate, and I belong to a religious community. And Lev Shemaya, House of Prayer, which means listening heart, is run by the missionary oblates of Mary Immaculate. And we've been there for some 40 years in just outside of Sarita, Texas, going down towards Brownsville to the valley. For us, it's a great place where someone can get away just to be quiet. Normally, a house of prayer compared to a retreat house can be quite different. We emphasize silence, taking that quiet time with yourself and with God, so you can truly take some time to listen. And so myself, that's what I've been educated in with my courses I've done on spiritual direction and also for preaching and giving retreats. Especially quiet retreats, more Ignatian style.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about what Ignatian style retreats are, but let's share with me and the audience, Father, what prayer really is and why it's essential in our lives.
Well, a very simplistic way to look at prayer is a conversation with your God, taking time to stop and to speak with God, and also to take time to listen. Many of us in our prayer, we say many different prayers. There's nothing wrong with saying prayers, but to truly pray means to take that time to enter into a conversation. Now, sometimes we may share a bunch of things or have many, many petitions that we ask of God. At the same time, though, we need to recognize, though, if we're going to pray, we need to also take time to stop and listen. And too many times we give our shopping list to God, so to speak. Here, God, I need all these different things. But we don't take that time to really be quiet and listen to say, what does God maybe want to say to us, to our heart, to our soul?
And we'll know that. We'll know what he's trying to say to us. Because some people might say, well, I don't physically hear God like I hear you. So, but if you listen hard enough and you quiet yourself, he will guide you.
Well, he'll guide you. And also, you start to recognize different movements within yourself, within your own spirit, so to speak. And we need to recognize as you take that time to listen, you're looking to be at peace with what's happening with you. Like when you're taking that time to pray, will you take that time to find peace, to be at peace within yourself, to say, yeah, there might be struggles going on, but yeah, it's all right. I can deal with it with God's help. There's always that God is there with us. Do we call upon God for that help that we need?
So prayer does call for a trust in God.
It calls for a trust in God. It calls to encounter God and to allow God to encounter us. God is always there with us. But will we open ourselves up to be with God? Will we take that time to sit back and to listen to the different movements? And that's why you have many different spiritualities that speak about prayer and how you can do different prayer. Like I would always say, if you truly pray, prayer is dangerous.
Why?
Well, if you take, for example, one prayer that we're all taught, and we all know it very well, and it's the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. But if you really pray that prayer and you listen to what you're praying, not just say a bunch of words, that prayer is a prayer of reconciliation. It's a prayer that calls you into relationship with your God, with yourself, and with others.
So in other words, you're making yourself vulnerable to your Creator and just putting it all on the table.
Very definitely. If you truly pray and if you enter into prayer, it is dangerous because you make yourself vulnerable and you are challenged to ask yourself, Am I listening to what God invites me to? For example, if you just say, if both of us, if we pray Our Father, what does that make us, if you truly reflect on that prayer?
Makes us, for me, a daughter of God.
Okay, makes you a daughter of God. But what does that make us in our relationship?
Brothers and sisters.
Okay, so do I really respect you? Do you really respect me?
And then we're talking about loving our neighbor.
Oh, yes.
Oh, and well, that's a challenge sometimes.
That's even a bigger challenge. just think back. You know, we can go back a few years. I always like to say to people, let's go across the pond to that country called Ireland. And if you go to Northern Ireland, and you had Catholics and Protestants both praying the Our Father in their churches. And then they walk outside their churches and they kill each other in the name of God. Mm. How can you say you're a Christian and then go kill one another?
Mm-hmm.
But your prayer is calling you to something else. So are you in right relationship? And if you go through that whole prayer, it asks many different things of us. You know, give us today our daily bread. What do I really need?
Mm-hmm.
How many of us like to be in competition with our neighbor saying, well, they got a new house, I got to get a bigger house. They got a new car, I got to get a new car.
Well, then there's gluttony.
Oh, gluttony. You go the whole list.
Yeah.
And then the big one at the end of basically that prayer, you know, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You know, do we really forgive one another? And a big question, do we forgive ourselves? You know, many people I've dealt with, they'll come to confession in that, and you tell them, okay, and they've confessed all their sins, and they're sorry, and this and that. And then you find out later they still haven't forgiven themselves. They come back a month later and say, it's the same thing that they've repeated I don't know how many times, because they haven't asked God to forgive them. They hold on to their sinfulness. So they're not listening to their own prayer. So do we really take that time to quiet ourselves and to listen to say, what does God desire of us?
Well, and I can imagine that when we're asking that question, it's really a call to holiness and a call to be more than who we are in that current brain state. I mean, how can I better serve God? How can I better serve my neighbor? But prayer can sometimes get focused on me.
Yeah. Well, I like how you're saying holiness, but it's even more than holiness. It's holiness and wholeness.
Okay.
It's calling us to become fully human. God has created us, and God never created junk. God created something very good. If you go back to, you know, Scripture, Genesis, in the first book of Genesis, and you look at the whole creation story, the first day God says it's good, second day it says it's good, third day it's good, fourth day it's good, fifth day it's good. Sixth day, when he creates you and I, he creates humanity, he doesn't say it's just good. He says it's very good, that we are something special. If we listen to that, in our prayer, God is calling us into that relationship. He says, yeah, you're something very good. I love you. I created you. And now will we take that time to listen to God and to enter into conversation with God in our prayer?
So in other words, in prayer, it's not just a laundry list of what I want. And we'll talk more about prayer and Ignatian style of prayer. Mm-hmm. But it is a call to be in relationship with our God. It is a call to see what our path is, how he's guiding us, and really just to listen to what he has to say to us.
Well, to listen to what he has to say to us, but also for us to bear our hearts and souls to God.
Okay.
Like many times we think, well, God already knows everything. Yeah, God does know everything.
But he wants to hear it from you.
That's right. He wants us to say, hey, this is me. And, you know,
I'm yours.
That's right. And I'm yours. And so can I take ownership and claim who I am, the creature I am? Can I claim the sinful Father Rocky? Because I'm a sinner.
Father, like, you sin.
Yes, we all do. You know? And so, but can I claim my sinfulness? Can I claim my holiness? Can I claim mm-hmm. that wholeness of my whole life and say, here, God, this is my struggle. This is who I am. And I want to be in relationship with you. And God says, I want to be in relationship with you. Here, I give you my son. I give you Jesus. You know, will you follow the example? You listen to him. So will I listen to Jesus each and every day in my life? And will I enter into that personal conversation with God? Bringing my struggles, here's some things. Hey, Lord, I'm really struggling with this. You know, lots of times I'll hear kids say, Father, can you pray that I pass my exam?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, well, you're asking for a really big thing there because I can't do
those
it.
Those are short-term needs.
But also God can't grant that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you haven't studied, how can you pass?
Yeah.
But, you know, you could use the prayer instead and say, Lord, for our students, you know, we can say, Lord, can you help me to unleash, to open my mind for those things that I have studied So I take 5 minutes before the exam to quiet myself down and just to be at peace, and so I can enter into my examination that I'm going to be doing at school, because now it's helped to settle me. If you truly take time to pray, prayer can really start to quiet you down.
I was going to ask, what does prayer do to your life?
Well, prayer many times is going to help us to quiet down. They truly say, like if you do centering prayer, for example, where you try to empty yourself and bring yourself before God, you can bring down your blood pressure by probably about 10 points.
Wow.
Because you start to relax. You start to breathe properly. Like prayer also involves, do you use your whole body to pray? Do you pray with your breath? Like, for example, maybe as you breathe in, can you breathe in God's love, His mercy, His compassion? And when you breathe out, can you breathe out all that anxiety, that tension, that which destroys or pulls you away from relationship? And so it calls you to something more.
Well, I have even heard research that people who are prayerful people or people of faith heal better from surgeries or, you know, catastrophes, tragedies. I've heard some research on that, but we'll come back to that after our break.
Okay.
This is Labors of Love.
Natural family planning is a safe and effective method used to help married couples achieve or postpone pregnancy the natural way, without drugs, devices, or surgery. Engaged and married couples are invited to St. Elizabeth Parish, 603 East 5th in Alice, Saturday, November 22nd at 9:30 a.m. for a natural family planning introductory class. Pre-registration is required and will include materials and, as needed, follow-up sessions. For registration and other information, call Deacon Ron Martinez, 361-765-1124.
Thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love. I'm here with my guest, Father Rocky Grimard, and we are talking about prayer. We're talking about how prayer calls us to relationship with God, how it calls us to peace, how it calls us to really learn who we are and learn who our God is, and how much we should be both in love with one another. I want to talk about Ignatian-style prayer.
Well, if you talk about Ignatian, we need to talk about more, it's spirituality, a way of living, and but also prayer comes through it.
Okay.
And in Ignatian spirituality, one of the things that St. Ignatius has taught us is as we pray, we need to be discerning which spirit is moving us within our prayer, because there's a very big influence by different spirits, because there is a spirit of good, which is God, and there is that spirit of evil that can pull us the opposite direction, away from God. And so we need to ask us, which spirit is moving with us? Now, St. Ignatius would say, the spirit of good, the spirit of evil are both like rain falling from the sky. And so we recognize that as an image that he mm-hmm. gives us. And he would say, the spirit of good is that rain that falls from the sky. It hits the sponge. It's absorbed. It's drawn in.
It's gentle.
Quiet. It's gentle. That's really important to remember. It's gentle. And the other one, the spirit of evil is that rain falling from the sky hits a cobblestone street. And you know what the sound of a cobblestone street is? Bang, 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 bang. It scares us. And it drives us.
It shakes us up.
Shakes us up. And so we need to recognize that. So how many times in our own prayer or in something that's happening with us, how many times are we driven by something? If you start to recognize in your life that you're being driven, you are probably not listening to that spirit of God. You're probably listening to the spirit of evil, because it's trying to drive you away from God. You know, sometimes when we constantly say, I should do this, I should, you know, we're always putting all these shoulds on ourselves. Does that come from God?
Because, well, God wouldn't want to put so many priorities on you and so many deadlines and so much pressure. I mean, he wants to gently guide you into relationship with him.
And so that's right. And so what word, I think, would you say would probably be a better word? A better word than to use, God's inviting us into relationship. And that's what we need to recognize in our prayer. We're invited into a relationship with a God, that God loves us unconditionally, because God never created junk.
So he's not the dictator.
No,
he's
no,
the one
no.
That, that invites and will keep on inviting.
Mm-hmm. Because God is saying, I love you. I want to be in relationship with you. And so even when we pull away from God, God is still there at the back. And sometimes you hear that little whisper there, you know, I love you. I care for you. You know, that's that. That's our God in the background. And sometimes we're trying to push God away, say, no, I got this. I got to do this. You know, how many times do we have all of our lists and saying, I got so many different things to do. What's one of the first things that we usually let go of in our life is prayer. Taking that time to be with God, you know. Look, you look, one of the greatest forms of prayer also is going to the Eucharist, going to Sunday celebration, Mass, you know. And we say, well, I'm so busy, I'm this, I'm that, you know. And so, well, I'll just take this Sunday off. And so we all of a sudden we put other priorities ahead of our prayer. And the next thing, then we say, what's happening here? Why am I not at peace? Why am
my
I struggling?
My life is disordered, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm kind of a mess right now. Mm-hmm. I'm falling apart. Mm-hmm. Well, we've taken ourselves out of prayer. We've taken ourselves out of relationship.
So we've removed ourselves from the picture.
That's right. God is still there in the background.
Yeah, he's in the picture.
He's still whispering, but we don't want to respond to the whisper because...
Well, again, it challenges us.
Yes. Well, okay, we had talked in that first part. You know, you go back to the Our Father, and one of the parts of the Our Father say, no, thy will be done. Whose will do we really want? You know, we want our will. We want, okay, God, let's do what I want. Not what God's desiring. Not what God's calling us to. Yeah. We think, well, I know better. And a lot of us, we think, I know, I struggle with the same thing at times. So, okay, God, or I different struggles I may be going through, and I forget to say, okay, where's God in all of this mess?
Mm.
Will I stop myself and say, where's God in all this mess?
Well, and speaking of stopping, so Ignatian spirituality does focus on silence.
Yes. Well, Ignatian spirituality is going to call us to take time to stop and reflect, to truly enter into a reflective space. Okay. All prayer basically is going to call us to enter into some kind of respective reflective place, because we bring petition, we bring all kinds of different things to God. But then we do need to always take time to stop and listen. No, I always tell people, like, I'll ask the question not many times when I worked in our Catholic schools, when I worked up north, and I'd say, why did God give you two ears and one mouth? And people go, well, what do you mean, Father? I said, well, you know, we're called to listen twice as much as we talk.
Well, that would save us a lot of trouble if
we did that. Oh, it would. In all of our relationships. So if in our prayer relationship, if we talk for 5 minutes to God in our prayer, we take 5 minutes to say, here, God, here's my shopping list. Here's all these other issues. Here's what's happening in my life, you know. And now if I can take 10 minutes just to be quiet with God, what a great relationship. Because allowing God to love me where I'm at in my own struggles, but maybe also to be inviting me to say, okay, Rocky, can you be at peace with this? How do I feel? What's happening all inside? Can I hear what's happening inside? Or am I so busy that everything's keeping me so busy and God's just saying, let's quiet down?
Well, I want to talk about time. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times we make the excuse that we do not have time. But prayer is essential and we need to make time.
Okay, that's right. Prayer is an essential aspect of our life. Now, when we have, do you have any friends?
Yes.
Okay. Now, if you want them to be friends, what do you need to do?
I need to take the time to spend with them.
Okay. And so it's the same thing with our relationship with our God. You know, we say lots of times to small children as they're going through catechetical programs, you know, who's your best friend? Well, Jesus is my best friend. Well, Jesus can only be my best friend if I take time to have a personal relationship with him. And I think sometimes we forget that in our Catholic faith, that we're called to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, to take time to talk with Jesus on a daily basis. Take time to talk to God on a daily basis.
Well, I got this imagery from my spiritual director, and basically we were talking about prayer. How often do you pray? Well, I pray all the time. I mean, I pray while I'm driving. I pray while I'm brushing my teeth. I mean, just constant prayer. So here I am thinking I'm just doing prayer really well, right? Well, the fact is that I'm not sitting down giving undivided individual attention to my God. Mm-hmm. I'm just doing it on the go. Mm-hmm. And when you are faced with a friend, when you're in front of a friend, you want to give them eye contact. You want to give them your listening ear. You want to be vulnerable. And you can't do things like that when you're on the go and when you're just praying in the car. I mean, it's good. It's good to hear the rosary in the car, and it's good to pray with your children and et cetera. Mm-hmm. But really taking that time and finding the time to sit down, to quiet yourself, and to try to listen to God, I think, is important.
Well, if you look at the different forms of prayer and that, what were they designed for? How did they come about? You take an example, you know, praying the rosary. praying the rosary is a good prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But when we pray the rosary, but how did the rosary come about? The rosary came about by the Dominicans helping to teach those who are illiterate what scripture was, and inviting them to pray this scripture as they pray the rosary, and then to meditate on it, to really understand what it comes to be. And then sometimes now we've taken the rosary, and sometimes how do we pray the rosary? It's a speed test to see how fast we can go.
Yeah,
our Father who art
in
heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know, we rush through our prayer.
Uh-huh.
And prayer is supposed to be methodical and slow.
Exactly.
Taking time. And so, again, coming back to what you're saying, will I give time to God? We give time to so many other things, but how about to God, who is our creator, to say, who is first in my life? Is it God?
And things fall into place when we have that right order.
Yeah, I truly believe, you know, the more we take time to recognize, you know, my personal relationship with God, would say, the more I love God, God says to me, okay, Rocky, love those that you are with. If you want to really love me, then show that love you have for me to those you come in contact with. But I always come back to be always nurtured and fed spiritually with my personal relationship with God, first off. That gives me the impetus to be able to go forward.
Well, and the courage and
the
strength.
The courage, the strength, yeah. Because everything, my life, it depends on God. Now, I did a 40-day retreat with the Ignatian-style retreat many years
back. Does that mean completely in silence?
Yes, 40 days of silence.
Oh, my.
It was great. It was a fantastic retreat.
But on that gossip, so that means.
But on that retreat, I also came into such a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that I could say on that retreat, and what happened on that retreat, that if there's no God, there's no reason to live. Because God, Jesus, is the center of my being. God is my lover. God is the lover of my soul, my heart. God gives me the strength to go forward, to bring life to others.
That is well said, especially for people who have lost hope. Just to remember that God is our creator, and he wants us to prosper, as scripture says. And prayer brings us back to those realities, I think.
Well, I think sometimes we've got to be careful with words like prosper, because then people think, yeah, well, I'm supposed to get lots of money.
Oh, yes, yes, I know what you're saying.
And so we have to always be careful to say, yeah, to prosper, God is calling us to be in relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly, that is to relationship with myself, relationship with God, and relationship with others. St. John says, the person who says, I love God, who I cannot see, but does not love self or neighbor is a liar.
That's true.
So I need to be in relationship. So God's invited me, helping me to find that right relationship at all time, and to be developing it, and to be growing it, to be growing in vulnerability with those around me, with my community, with the stranger on the street.
Even with the person that gives me the hardest time.
Yes. It's interesting. In scripture we say, you know, or we hear quite often, so will you pray for your enemy? Because if you start to pray for your enemy, all your perceptions start to change also. Yeah. If you truly take time to say, I am going to be vulnerable and say, you know what? Because it challenges you to say, I really don't know this person. And many times, many of our fears, our anxieties, prayer can help us to say, you know what? I need to let go of those perceptions. Because what
let
God
down
wants,
my walls.
Let down my walls. Let down my barriers. And let's try to enter into a deeper dialogue and growth with one another.
Father, it was a pleasure having you here, and I look forward to bringing you back again on Labors of Love.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Stay with us. Sacred Moments with Deacon Nolte is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's sacred moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
A woman left a restaurant carrying a to-go bag. As she approached her car, she noticed a rooster strutting in the parking lot alongside a neighboring fence. It aroused memories of her childhood when chickens and roosters had been kept at home, and she felt an urge to feed the bird as she had done as a child. The woman opened her to-go bag, took a piece of bread, and tossed it towards the rooster. The bird rushed forward to see what good fortune had come his way. Pecking at it, he tore off a small piece and stepped back. Swallowing the bread, he began to preen himself and to crow. While he was thus occupied, a hen appeared from under the nearby fence, ran to the remaining bread, and began to devour it. In the midst of his strutting and crowing, the rooster failed to notice the hen eating his bread. When he turned back to get more, he saw the hen and rushed to reclaim the gift. Unfortunately, by the time he realized his mistake, he was left with nothing. How often might something like this happen to us? We live in a world that can be cruel and difficult, yet sometimes we receive incredible breaks that fill us with hope and joy. Without these occasional blessings, it is easy to be discouraged or disheartened or to question God's providence for us. When we don't appreciate or care for these gifts, someone else will come along and take them. In many ways, faith and the sacraments are like this. God gives us the gift of faith through the workings of the Holy Spirit. He sent Jesus into the world to redeem us and restore our friendship with Him, and He gives us the sacraments to strengthen us for the difficult times. They work to convert our hearts and desires, to help us see life as it really is, not as the world would have us believe. When we receive the sacraments, we are called to live them and become the visible sign of the sacrament for others. Thus, when we see a bishop, priest, or deacon, we know they have been ordained. Married couples reveal the reality of becoming one in the sacrament of matrimony, while the newly baptized and confirmed bear witness to the newness and fullness of life and the Holy Spirit. Anyone who has made a good confession and received absolution knows firsthand how healed and cleansed they feel, and others can see it too. Unfortunately, like the proud rooster, we sometimes get caught up in the ways of the world and fail to appreciate the many gifts God has given us. When good things come our way, we should give thanks and accept them. When we fail to do so, when we fail to let them change our lives, or fail to be on guard, there is always someone lurking nearby, waiting to take them away from us. There is nothing Satan likes better than when we forget to avail ourselves of the sacraments and other gifts of God, because he knows that without God's help, we don't stand a chance against him and his minions. May you always remember who has called you and the labor of love to which you have been called, and may God's blessings be with you today and always as you seek to answer his call. Amen.
Thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Father Rocky Grimard, a missionary oblate of Mary Immaculate. If you would like more information or would like to take a silent retreat yourself, please call 361-294-5369. Thank you so much for being with us on Labors of Love.
This has been Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. If you'd like to hear this or a previous program again, or download it to your device, browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Religious Education, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.